The word today is divine. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Doug Schrader. Jesus Christ is a truly unique human. There has never been, nor will there ever be, anyone else like him. He is described as the firstborn over all creation. Our culture attempts to diminish the person of Jesus, but we need to know how important he is and that he is to be seen as the Son of God. Here to explore Christ's power and glory is Bible scholar Doug Schrader. On The Word Today, divine.
As would be expected, there's an awful lot said about the person of Jesus in the New Testament in the Bible. Among the most important things that are taught regarding Jesus is that he is divine, and in that respect, he is utterly different than we are. Even though he had a physical body, the fullness of God dwelled within him. And I'd like to take some time for us to look at some scriptures to get solidified in our minds the divinity of Jesus. This is one of the teachings that comes under attack the most often. When there are false teachers, false prophets, when individuals want to diminish the importance of Jesus, most often they will attack his deity. And in doing so, they will either diminish him or they will elevate normal humans to try to make them somehow equal with Jesus. These are the two classic ways in which Christianity has been attacked in regards to the person of Christ through the centuries. Let's take a look first at Colossians chapter 1. This is a beautiful chapter, and it is one of the important chapters in the New Testament which teaches us about the deity of Jesus. It says in verse 15, "He," meaning Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." That is such a marvelous summary of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And notice these fantastic statements about who Jesus is. He is called the firstborn over all creation. It is said that everything was created by him and for him. He is the head of the church, his body. And God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell within him. You can't escape what the New Testament is telling you in passages like this, is that Jesus is the one and only person like this. In the history of the world, there's never been another person like this. He is not just some simple prophet. He is not just a spirit-filled human who is doing very well. No, he is one of a kind. And in fact, in John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John, the word is used there when it says that no one has ever seen God, but God the one and only has made him known. That reference to God the one and only is Jesus. And in the Greek, the word means unique. There will be no others. Jesus is the only Son of God the Father in that respect. We might call ourselves children of God. We might say that God loves all people and he saved us through Jesus to be his children. But none of us will ever be in that position that Christ is in. He is utterly unique. Let's take a look at another passage. This one, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8. And again, just soak in the beauty of the message of Jesus. In Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he," that is Jesus, "might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." This is a fantastic picture of the way that God has laid out the plan of salvation and has made it possible for sinful human beings to receive forgiveness, restoration through Jesus, and then be led by God through this earthly life toward life everlasting, which he has prepared for them. Now, we've seen a couple of phrases here. We've seen Jesus, who is called the firstborn over all creation, here in Romans chapter 8. Paul is saying that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. What do these phrases mean? What's the intent when it says that Jesus is the firstborn over creation or the firstborn among many brothers? I want to warn you about various heresies and false teachings that circulate. Wherever you have the gospel of Jesus and it's spread around the world, there will be people that will attempt to twist it and distort it. They will try to turn it into an alternative story. A good example of this is the concept that we are like Jesus and that we were spirit children of God like Jesus, and that he somehow, in his obedience and in his demeanor, won the right for us to become divine like he is. This is a foreign concept to the New Testament. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul was dealing with a different variation of the gospel, and he lays it out very sternly, and he says, if anyone preaches a gospel other than the one you've received, let him be anathema. That means accursed of God. It's very important that you don't get twisted and mixed up by people that want to diminish the role of Jesus. The New Testament is very clear about the fact that we are creatures, that we are individuals redeemed through Jesus Christ and slated for a life as creatures in the heaven that he has prepared for us. And in that sense, the New Testament says that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. He is preeminent in his nature, because he is divine. He is preeminent in his accomplishments because he has defeated Satan, death, disease, all of the things that we creatures could not accomplish, Christ has accomplished. He kept the full will and law of God the Father in our place. So it is heresy to suggest that Jesus and we are brother and sister or brother and brother, and that we're going to end up exactly the same as Jesus, just as divine. That is not what the New Testament intends at all. And when it says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers, it's referring to the fact that Christ in his human body was resurrected from the dead. And in so doing, he paved the way for the rest of us to have a physical resurrection. In fact, in Ephesians, you know, lest there be any question yet to what we're saying about the uniqueness of Jesus, listen to what Ephesians chapter 1 says. Paul is talking to the people in the church. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And now follow along as it says this, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. If there's any question about who this Jesus is, it's answered in passages like this. Christ will be preeminent. He is the one and only Savior. He is the one and only recipient of our worship and praise. And let's not get messed up by people that try to twist and contort and turn the gospel into something else, something where we are trying to take credit for ourselves, where we humans are supposedly evolving or working our way up into some deity status. This is not the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is quite simple, that Christ, as our unique Savior, came from God the Father in order to bring us redemption, in order to save us from our sins. He is the firstborn from the dead, like the first part of the harvest in the Old Testament that was offered to God. And then comes the rest. As I would say, first the best, then the rest. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise goes to Jesus Christ because he has paved the way for us. He has prepared eternal life. What a joy to know that when we put our faith and hope and love in Jesus, we'll have redemption through him and him alone.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader, entitled Armor. Pastor Schrader gives important insight on spiritual warfare and tells how a believer can be prepared to be a soldier, using the gifts and strength of God. Ask for your free copy when you write to us at The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.